as we're coming to the end of our study on angels, we're looking at the topic of the angel of Jehovah, or the angel of the Lord, and trying to identify from the scriptures who that really is. And last week, as we were looking at this, we were looking at the idea, what does the Bible really say about this angel of the Lord being, at least in some instances as it's referred to, actually being the pre-incarnate Christ. So this morning, as we continue looking at this, we're going to try to finally answer that that question and identifying who that really is. We're going to begin in Exodus chapter 3. This is when Moses is at the burning bush. And we want to take a look at the things that in this discussion, how is this discussion going, and does it help us to get some insight into who this angel of the Lord is, okay? Let me get somebody to read for us. Start at verse 1. Let me get somebody to read on down through verse 6. Anybody want to read that? 1 through 6, yeah. Let's just start there for right now. Okay, some interesting statements in this, isn't it? See, we look at this, and first of all, we see verse 2, who is it that's in this flaming bush? It's the angel of the Lord, okay? The angel of the Lord, he says, appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Then look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from where? From within the bush. Okay? Do not come any closer. Verse 5. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Okay? So, the angel of the Lord appears to him in the flames of fire from within the bush, but then it is God who calls out to him from within the bush. So, what do we conclude from this? Who does that tell us this angel of the Lord is? John? No, it's not. There's a lot of... That's one theory, but we also have to understand, though, that any time that the angels, even in all the other things that we saw the angels were doing, any time angels were sent to deliver a message or what have you, were they not always speaking on God's behalf? you're feeling like this is an angel that God is speaking through this angel, but it's not really God. Is what? Okay, all right. We're going to continue on here. Okay. Okay. Well, if we continue looking at this particular instance and this conversation that is taking place, so far we've identified that the one that's speaking from the bush has identified himself as God, right? Thus far. Even though we're told it's the angel of the Lord that was that appeared to Moses in this bush. Conversation so far we're seeing is God is, or he's identifying himself with God. If you go on and continue in this conversation, assuming the same two people, Moses and that entity, whichever it is, are still carrying on this conversation, we don't have any indication that has changed as we continue on. Look over beginning in verse 13, and let me get somebody to read verse 13. Down to verse 15. Who'd like to read that for us? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Exodus 3. Okay, so here, as this conversation goes on, Moses basically says, okay, well, what's your name? Okay, who are you? And he identifies himself as who? I am. My name is I am. Okay, which is the name of God. Okay, now turn over, keep your finger right here for a second, and turn over to John chapter 8 for a moment. Okay? Right. Yeah. Which is part of that, in my opinion, is part of that whole, Trinity, the Godhead, and how do you separate them? You see? Look in John chapter 8 for a moment here. And, Jesus again is in dispute with the Jewish leaders. And look at this conversation that he has with them. Look at the statements that he makes. Verse 54 of John chapter 8, Jesus replies, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not know him, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father, look at verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. They respond, verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Verse 58, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Okay? Before Abraham was born, I am. My understanding of this text is that in the Greek here is the same wording, the same meaning as the Hebrew that we just read in Exodus chapter 3. God identifies himself using that name, I am. God is the great I am. Jesus is applying that very same thing to himself. See? So then we go back and we look at the statement that, you know, that person that's speaking to Moses in the bush identifies himself as the I am. And Jesus right here is identifying himself as the I am. Say, is it the same person? If not, then is there more than one I am? Dale? No? Go ahead. I am. Yeah. But you see, as we look at these passages, especially, you know, what this identification, as Moses says, okay, who are you? What's your name? He says, I am. I am who I am. That's my name. That is the name of God. All, you know, Hebrews understood that. You know, as they were taught, as they were raised, they understood the name of God is I am. See? So when Jesus makes those remarks and attributes that name to himself, you say, then what's he really doing here? Exactly. You say, he's saying, I am him. I'm the one. I am him. Okay? Brian? Well, I think that you're exactly right, and I think another problem, and we talked about this a little bit last week, and this really, as we conclude this, hopefully we'll be able to understand this and see it a whole lot better, that we traditionally have a real difficult time in our mind, you know, identifying Jesus being active in the Old Testament world. You see, everything we read about, you know, we read about Jesus where? He's in the New Testament, you see, and God is in the Old Testament. And so this whole idea of looking and seeing Jesus as actively working in the Old Testament is a big hurdle for a lot of us, you see, because that's just not something traditionally that we teach and talk about a whole lot. We haven't done that into our shame, you see. We need to understand, you know, the idea here is that, you know, we've got a Godhead, a Trinity that, yeah, in my mind, it's difficult to understand, but at the same time, are we saying that, you know, during that Old Testament time, well, Jesus helped, you know, he was involved in the creation, he created everything, but then after that, he just kind of sat down and waited until, you know, it was time for him to come here as a man, and what was he doing all in the meantime? Nothing. Well, you know, we start looking at this kind of stuff, it opens up and going, hey, wait a minute, maybe he wasn't as inactive as we seem to think that he was, you see. He's just not in the same form, I think, as what we're used to him being in, that is the form of a man, as we see him in the New Testament, but doesn't require that he was completely inactive during the Old Testament time. And so we see these kind of events and we have to look at it and go, okay, there's, you know, was that Jesus that was there? And I think it was. I think that's exactly what St. John. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Right. Now, I think that's exactly right. But you understand what I'm saying is that I think traditionally we've kind of relegated Jesus to the New Testament, you know, and we've not really kind of explored that whole idea of him actually doing stuff, you know. And so in this kind of a way that you know, the Father would send Jesus not appearing as a man, but instead appearing as a flaming bush, you know, and actually talk with Moses. And so we look at this, and that's where we're, this angel of the Lord or angel of Jehovah, who is that really? Okay, all right, I got hands up all over the place here. Let me, before I get you others over, let me share with you, okay, we're going to venture into the Hebrew for a second, okay? All right? I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm telling you what I have found, all right? I would say that. When we look at this identity of the angel of the Lord in the Hebrew, the name that is given, the wording that is there, Malak Elohim, without the article, means an angel of the Lord. Okay? But Malak Ha Elohim, with that article, means the angel of the Lord. And so in the Hebrew, there is a distinction made in between those two. An angel would be one of those messengers, you know, that God has sent and so forth, where the angel is distinguished from those other angels in that way, okay, with that name of God, indicating that one is a specific angel that is being referred to, okay? And he is then, this angel of Jehovah in that way is identified with God. Where we look at these situations, some we looked at with Hagar, with Balaam, with Abraham, with Jacob, that he's identified as the angel of the Lord. Okay? Rick, and then Peggy over here. next place we're going to from there is Exodus 23, which is one of the references Jerry pointed out here a moment ago. Peggy, before we go there, Peggy, what was your... Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I think that the main question here is, in trying to identify in this, as we've been talking about angels and what they do, is exactly who is this angel of Jehovah that it talks about? Is it a special angel, or is it actually the pre-incarnate Christ? Okay, let's look at Exodus 23. Look in beginning in verse 20 here. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is where? Is in him, okay? If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Now, so again, just like what Rick read for us back in chapter 13, 14, God says, I'm going to send an angel ahead of you. Okay, at nighttime, he's going to be in the form of fire. Okay, in the daytime, he's going to be cloud of smoke. Okay, here, I'm sending this angel ahead of you. He is not going to pardon your transgressions. Angels have the ability to pardon transgressions? Okay. All right. Now, Jehovah, he says, Jehovah is sending an angel. But as we read this narrative, it's, okay, wait a minute, there's two different people here, right? Let's look at what he says here. I'm sending this angel. If you listen carefully to what he says and do, then all that I say, I will be an enemy to you. So it's like, okay, listen to him, and I will. Almost gets confusing there, doesn't it? So we come back to that question. Who is this entity that God is sending before the Israelites? Well, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Who can I get to read that for us? Okay. Talking about when. By the way, he starts us out by saying, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. Right? I want you to understand this. I don't want to have any ignorant brethren around. All right? Okay? I want you to understand this. What's the event he's talking about here? Yeah. When they were leading, crossing the Red Sea and they're leaving out of Egypt, and what was going ahead of them? angel of the Lord who appeared to them in a cloud, right? And moved behind them when Pharaoh's army came. Same thing, right? Okay. And who does he identify as being the one that was accompanying them? That rock that accompanied them was Jesus Christ. Okay? Yeah. Well, I think the word there is intended to be, and I think that's why the NIV translated accompanied, that he was in their presence. And that's what the whole concept was. They weren't going to go alone. God said, I'm sending my angel to go ahead of you. But you see, Paul here goes back to that event, doesn't he? And he clearly identifies who was that was in the cloud. Who was it that was accompanying them? It's Christ. It's Jesus, you see. So that should remove any kind of doubt in our mind, shouldn't it, that, you know, as we were talking before, this idea of a Jesus only did stuff in the New Testament time. No, Paul here goes back and says, you know, that cloud that the Israelites were with that was accompanying them, that was Jesus that was in that cloud. And again, clearly through the text we've been looking at, how is that entity that was in that cloud, how was he identified? The angel of the Lord. All right? Okay, John and then Rick over here. The angel of God in one case. That's what Rick was saying. If you look at those different passages, one place it says the angel of God, and others it just says an angel. You see? But when we put all those things together, we put it with this, we're able to clearly identify, okay, who is this that it's talking about? Go ahead. Well, again, you have to go back to, as we saw very early on, when you look at what the word angel means, it's simply a messenger, okay? And that messenger can appear in any form and can be whoever or whatever God wants it to be. Do what now? Well, apparently not always. That's where we're making this distinction between the angel of Jehovah and angels, okay? That we have to be able to see this. I think in answer to your question about this idea of, you know, why didn't he just say it's Jesus? Well, I think that because the way that God had this whole thing worked out and planned out, you see, that we see all these prophecies concerning the Messiah during that Old Testament time, that the Messiah was going to come when? Now, all the signs were pointing to a specific time that Messiah was going to come, you know, in the flesh and, you know, be born of a woman, a virgin, and all these things that would prepare them for the New Testament. I think that, this is just my, you know, take on it, that I think if he would have identified him as Jesus Christ during that Old Testament time, I think that would have confused the Israelites tremendously. Well, he's already come. Why are we waiting for him to come in the future? Why didn't he, you know, if he came and talked to Moses or he came and he talked to Balaam or he came and he talked to Abraham, well, what are we still waiting for him for? You see, that God had this plan worked out in that way, and to identify him as that and then say, well, he's coming in the flesh later, I think would have been really confusing to them. And more confusing than a lot of things are. They were confused enough, maybe. Let me put it that way. They missed it, you see. So I think that's probably why he didn't clearly identify and say, this is Jesus Christ. You see? Right. Okay. Okay. Well, again, you know, we have the ability of God to do all kinds of things. And are there... It may very well have been. But you see, if you stop and think about this, and I think this is pretty awesome. If you stop and think about it this way, and we kind of allow ourselves to open up to this idea of Jesus actually doing the one, being the one that's doing these things during this Old Testament time, think about the implication of that, that we, even without thinking it that way, look at the connection between the Passover, okay, that first time, and what Jesus did on the cross. And think about the whole concept in your mind of that actually it was Jesus at that first Passover that went through and saw the blood of those innocent lambs on the doorposts and passed over those homes, you know, and knowing that in the future he's going to be the lamb that is sacrificed on the cross. Okay? And how much more does that story bring meaning to us, understanding and realizing that that wasn't just some angel that was, you know, out there, you know, checking on the doors. That was Jesus that was doing that. The pre-incarnate Jesus, that first Passover, and then that last Passover when he himself died for the sins of the people. Right. The destroyer. Which is very possible that what it meant is Jesus has got, you know, some angels with him, and they're, you know, or, and, you know, could have been Gabriel, could have been Michael, we don't know. But my feeling about it is that Jesus was the one that was going through there and seeing that blood on the doorpost. Yeah, absolutely. The angel of the Lord. Might have been. Very well. Ryan? Oh, yeah. 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 Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and when we saw in our study last week of that conversation that the angel of the Lord had with Moses, with Abraham that day, you know, there in that recording in John, you know, Jesus could have said, well, go back in your scriptures and remember that time that Abraham was talking? That was me. You say, that was me. Before Abraham was, I am. And Abraham look forward to or rejoiced at my coming, right? Yeah, he knew Abraham, and Abraham knew him. Absolutely. Absolutely. What else? Oh, yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, I think, and Brian touched on this earlier, it comes also back to that whole issue of the spiritual versus the physical. You know, what, as you said, we started this whole study in talking about what do angels look like. the answer to that is anything God wants them to look like, you know, that we saw. But we have a difficulty in kind of, you know, allowing this whole spiritual side of things that we can't see, and it's difficult for us to understand. We can't relate to it as much as we can the physical. So we tend to want to put everything in boxes that make sense to us. And you can't do that with God, you see. Well, they were definitely messengers. That's what they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I think that all of this, hopefully it challenges our thinking a little bit here on, you know, being able to take angels and all these things kind of out of the box that we have, you know, put them in and be able to allow for other possibilities and allow that God, because God is spirit, that he's working in ways that we sometimes don't even understand. And we can't necessarily put our finger on it all, but we have to allow that because he's a spiritual being, he can do these things in that way. And so Jesus certainly could appear, you know, in all these different forms, in all these different ways, you know, before he came here in the flesh, that he was actively working and involved with God's people. In my mind, there's no reason to believe that he wasn't actively involved with God's people during that time frame. Pat? Sure. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Did you have one? Oh, okay. That's good. You know, I think if we settle this thing in our mind about the angel of Jehovah and the connection to that being Jesus, okay, let's throw another monkey, you know, into the works here, and let's talk about the Holy Spirit for a moment, okay? We hadn't even gotten to that part yet, all right? But just, again, for the whole purpose of going back and looking at the work of God in all of these things, who does it really involve? I think, again, We tend to have, you know, a picture in our mind where everything is kind of divided, you know, a certain way, and we've kind of relegated, you know, God and, you know, God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit to certain things, and this is where they did their things, and that's it. John brought out a good point here earlier. We have to remember we can't separate the three of them, okay? You know, what one is doing, the other's involved in, you see? And Peggy, as you brought up earlier, you know, you go back to John chapter 1, okay? Who was it that was involved in the creation? Who was it that John identifies there as creating everything? It's Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? He was with God in the beginning, okay? Through him, all things were created. Without him, nothing that has been made was made. Okay? But yet, if you go back over to Genesis chapter 1, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered, you see? Who's involved in the creation? All three. All three. The Father, Son, and the Spirit. They're all involved in these. What one does, the others are involved in. You cannot separate them. But then at the same time, you know, and this is where our physical limitations kind of get us into, you know, some trouble here where we start going, but wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it's not supposed to make sense. Okay? It doesn't make any earthly sense, as Terry Rush says. You know, Terry, you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit makes no earthly sense. It doesn't make any sense to us with these finite thinking minds here. But I think that that's how God wants it. He doesn't want us to confine him to a box. You see? And so I hope that through this study, when we're at the end of it here, I hope that through this that we've been able to open your eyes a little bit and your thinking about angels, first of all, and give you some understanding of what the Bible really says about angels and all the different things that they're doing and how God uses them, good angels, bad angels, and all those things. But more importantly, this last part, and that's why I really wanted to finish with this part of it here, is to challenge our thinking on Jesus and his work during the Old Testament time, being involved with God's people all along, just in a different way than he was and has been since the New Testament times. Hopefully we've been able to challenge, you know, and expand our thinking along that line some and see God's work in a lot of ways that maybe we haven't really considered before and what he has been doing in working with and for his people. I've enjoyed this study. I hope that you have too. I hope it's been beneficial to you in that way. So next week, Dale is going to begin on a study on the Screwtape letters. So I'm looking forward to that. So if you haven't read that, if you want to get a copy of it, then read ahead. But Dale, you're going to have a printed out copies or something, right? Is that right? Right. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you all very much. All right. Thank you.